Contractors have a busy rest of the summer. Requests for proposals now or about to be on the street will amount to $92 billion worth of future opportunities. That's according to analysis by Bloomberg Government. More than half of that will come from the General Services Administration's forthcoming Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions Multiple Awards Program. It's a mouthful. Brian Friel is a government contracts analyst at Bloomberg. He joins me now with more on these upcoming multiple award contracts. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So when I first read the headline, I thought they're not going to spend $92 billion in the fourth quarter. But I don't think that's what you meant to convey. So what's really going on here with these RFPs?
Sure. So we track the top 20 opportunities by total potential value over their life on BGov every week. And we were struck by the number of requests for proposals, final requests for proposals that are coming out in this quarter. And you mentioned the Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions contract. That has a $50 billion ceiling over 10 years. And the other contracts have similarly large multi-billion dollar ceilings. Now, over the life of the contract, that could not spend out. It's just the total potential value of the program, but all of these represent real opportunities for billions of dollars in spending for contractors.
And is it unusual for all of these, this level of RFPs, to come out all in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, usually we see, you know, one or two big RFPs, and often we see agencies sort of hold off on some of these major ones until the first quarter, because the fourth quarter is so busy with last-minute contract efforts. But what we really see here is a shift by the government toward consolidated contracts, and the government's kind of in a rush to get some of these big contracts out where the government could consolidate requirements that are currently performed over hundreds or even thousands of different contracts onto these central vehicles.
I guess maybe it will be tough for contractors if they have to begin responding to them, but the people doing the response to the RFPs are really not the same group of people that are doing fulfillment for end-of-year spending. So maybe it won't be that bad for contractors this summer, or will they be in the red team mode, say, when these come out?
Well, for some of the larger contractors that that do IT services work or general professional services work, this will be a big crunch. Their proposal shops are really going to be burning the midnight oil through September 30th, working on these opportunities. And you really can't pass them up if you're in this space. One of them is for IT services at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which spends almost $1 billion a year through its current IT services contract. The main training and human capital contract is included here. And so if you don't get on to some of these contracts, you may be shut out of a few billion dollars a year in future opportunities.
So that gives new meaning to the term Labor Day weekend.
That's right. And this spans the gamut. There's the big Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions contract, which is for sort of network operations. I mentioned the human capital one for training. The Defense Logistics Agency has a new IT services central contract. I mentioned the CMS Medicare agency's IT services contract. And then GSA is also working on a contract to consolidate building maintenance and facilities operations work in the Washington, D.C. and Mid-Atlantic area as the first step in a nationwide consolidated contract for that kind of work.
All right, let's walk through these maybe a little bit one by one. The big one, the big $50 billion opportunity over 10 years, Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions. That could mean a lot of things from GSA. What are they trying to do here? What's their strategy with this MAC?
Yeah, think of this one as kind of the phone and network operations contract for the entire government. This is the latest in a series of similar contracts, and companies like AT&T and Verizon and Sprint are players in this space. The GSA is trying to expand the scope of this contract beyond just typical phone and network wiring type of work to broader IT infrastructure work like cloud type efforts and more cyber work. And so the existing contracts are called networks, and they see a few billion dollars a year in work, and this one may be even bigger because the broader scope of the opportunity.
I guess I missed the point at which GSA renamed NS2020 as Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions, but is that what happened?
That's right. That's the you'll still see in the request for proposals the NS2020 moniker, but Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions is the official name of the contract.
I guess that really maybe acknowledges what everyone has seen coming for so many years, and that is the total convergence of communications as it was traditionally understood by telephone and so forth, and IT, which were separate wires. Now it's really the same wire.
And what's striking to me is that the evaluation method for this contract will make price just as important as technical factors, and that really shows the sort of commoditization of internet services. Obviously the phone service is a utility, and price is sort of the dominant factor in decisions about who we pick to be our carriers. That mentality of price being the dominant factor is spreading into more internet services.
Well, of course, years ago they used to promise 5 cents a minute for long-distance phone calls. I guess nobody talks in those terms anymore. We're speaking with Brian Friel. He's a government contracts analyst at Bloomberg. And so this other one for building, Washington area building maintenance and so forth, building maintenance and operations, the BMO, there must be an IT component to that, too, because buildings and the operation of buildings and the IT infrastructure are also converging.
So the interesting thing here is GSA is very consciously excluding IT from this contract.
Oh.
They really want the IT work to go through either this Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions contract or Alliant or some of the other vehicles that they have. So this is more for your HVAC, for your janitorial services, for those kinds of things that you would think that you might, look through the phone book and call someone to come do some work on your building. And this is part of the broader strategic sourcing or category management effort that GSA has underway to try and get work consolidated that is commonly bought across the government. So lots of agencies, including the Army and the Agriculture Department and others that have major building footprints, have been involved with GSA in putting together this contract. And this first contract that'll have a request for proposal this quarter is for the Mid-Atlantic area, but additional zones will be created over the coming years, and ultimately this will be a nationwide program, again designed to consolidate much of the government's work in this area under a single vehicle.
So that's the boilers and chillers crowd.
That's right.
Okay, if you know what a chiller is, then you know what goes on the roof of all these buildings, big boxes that make a lot of noise. And I want to talk about CMS for a minute. What is the strategy that they're trying to pursue that's different from what they're doing now with their Spark program that they plan to release?
Right. So this Spark is a $25 billion ceiling contract that it will be for IT services at the agency. It's a follow-on to their existing contract called Enterprise System Development that's seen a lot more work than they expected when they awarded it in 2008, in large part because the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, passed 2 years later and created a lot more IT systems work for the agency. So the agency spent a lot more through their existing contract than they thought they would, and they've had to move more quickly than expected to this follow-on vehicle. But what's also interesting is that they are looking at potentially getting more Health and Human Services Department divisions to use this new contract going forward. The Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and other HHS agencies have their own contracts that are very similar, and we could see a lot of that work move on to CMS's contract in a few years.
But that won't be a GWAC. That'll just be for Health and Human Services at the most?
The design is for HHS agencies, and the CIO of HHS has gotten behind this vehicle and really talked about it as an opportunity to do IT better at the department overall.
And I also wanted to ask you about the Defense Logistics Agency's, their JETS contract, $6 billion program, J6 Enterprise Technology Solutions. J6 sounds like high level.
Yeah, that's just their acronym for the IT component of DLA. Right now, DLA buys its IT through lots of different contracts, you know, a few hundred, and goes to different contract vehicles that other agencies run as well. And this is their first effort to consolidate at the agency level all of their IT services work. They're kind of late to the game. CMS and other agencies did this, you know, in the prior decade. But DLA's largest single award contract for IT services is expiring soon, and that provided the impetus for the agency to do an agency level sort of strategic sourcing category management effort. Other agencies are already moving toward these sort of government-wide vehicles, but this is DLA sort of catching up on the agency-level consolidation effort.
And if you look at all of these big Macs, and in the case of GSA, the GWACs, what does this all mean for programs, traditional types of programs like the GWACs operated by NITAC, you know, over also part of, HHS, the CIOSP program, CIO program, and also the GSA multiple award schedules?
Well, for those GWACs like CIOSP at NITAC and Alliant at GSA, and NASA has its SUP contract for IT products, all of those are continuing to grow, and I think we'll see them grow more in the future because they fall in the same trend as these other contracts, which is consolidated efforts, and it makes sense more and more for agencies as they're looking at potentially creating new contracts to instead go to these existing vehicles and issue task orders, which can be put out much more quickly on those contracts. So I would expect that if anything, those contracts would grow even more than they have over the past few years.
And just to summarize, these RFPs worth this $92 billion over the lives of those vehicles, all coming out by when?
By the end of the fourth quarter, by September 30th. Three of them are already out, and the remaining three will be out most likely in mid to late September.
All right, so the federal government will have all it needs except a budget, I guess.
That's right, and of course they do have to ultimately, you know, review all of these proposals, and they'll probably get a few hundred for each one, and get through any protests. So it'll be a little while before these are up and running.
Yeah, so it's work for contractors, and then it's a lot of work for the government.
That's right.
All right, Brian Friel is a government contracts analyst for Bloomberg Government. As always, thanks so much for joining me.